Well, good morning, everyone. Please stand and grab a hymn book. Let's turn to page 2. That's not on the whatever this is called, projector screen. We're going to add this one in, When We See Christ. But keep your spot there. We're going to sing Amazing Grace right after that. Page 2, When We See Christ. Y'all awake this morning? I'm sorry, what? Are y'all awake this morning? You're not? Well, you're going to be now. We're going to sing.
Oftimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his pride away. All tears forever over, in God's eternal day, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
On the last,
life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past, we'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Twas grace
that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, when we first begun.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Amazing it is indeed. Thank God for His grace today. It's good to see you. I guess the rain has got some folks scared off today, and we can understand that. It's nice and warm and dry in here. It's raining outside. I guess we'll just take our time today and just I'll behave myself. Well, I know Curtis is going to share some things with you later about the yard sale, and I'm going to let him do that. But I just, as your pastor, I want to thank everybody that had anything to do with that, and that day and everything, how it came together. But most of all, I want to recognize Curtis and Teresa. They did a super job, and I appreciate them. Amen. Amen. They're the ones that carry the load on that thing. The rest of us help and support them, encourage, and everything came together a tremendous way. And again, I'll let Curtis share with you the results of that. Good to see you today, though. I'm thankful for a nice, warm, comfortable church building today. We can come and worship the Lord together, give Him glory and praise indeed. Well, let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other. Church family, make sure you welcome our visitors as well.
All right, let's turn to page 267. That's not it.
What's the number on that?
269. I was close. 269.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Let's sing it one more time.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Please be seated. Please stand with us once more. Let's turn to page 355. Gotta stand for this song. This is a big breath kind of a song. All right. Wonderful grace of Jesus.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. On the last wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, seeing it greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Amen. You may be seated.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering. And what we'll do, we'll go over a few announcements. Friday, April 14th, there is a sign-up sheet on the back. Worth Baptist Church on the other side of town, south side of town, on Friday, April 14th at 7 p.m. is putting on an Easter drama. And they're asked if we're going to bring a large group, that we notify them. Let them know so we can make arrangements for them. But free of cost, right? As far as we know, it's free of cost, okay? But they would like to know, you know, how many might possibly be coming to it. And if you're interested in it, there's a sign-up sheet on the back yonder, on the back foyer. And do we have any other sign-up sheets that need to be? The ladies' banquet, that's right, ladies' spring banquet, that's coming up. We'll get down there in just a second here. That's going to be on May 5th. Yeah, that's still around the corner. So we got a few more weeks possibly to announce that. Ladies' brunch tomorrow, Lord's Supper next Sunday. Let's see, got church work day on the 22nd. We need ladies and guys for that. Let's see, down at the very bottom, there's a very special thank you for Gerardo Ann. I don't know who Ann is. So, I want to say thank you for Gerardo and Miss Tammy for that. They come in and did a line share on pricing. Very detailed, difficult work. Went through every little one of those yard sale things. And they, that was there and organized and priced and moved. And there was a lot of work done. Now, as far as that goes, I want to say thank y'all to each and every one of y'all who had even the littlest little bit of part of that, okay? And I want to tell you something. Thank you thank you to us, but we didn't do it. We didn't do it. The Lord did it. The Lord provided us to be so affluent that we could get rid of the stuff that we didn't want. You know? And we get there to the table, and people said, oh, I've been looking at this for years. And the very next person come up and said, I've been looking for this for years. You know? And the Lord blessed. He blessed with folks coming by. He blessed with getting us beautiful weather. I mean, it's beautiful yesterday, just a little bit of sun peeking through the clouds every once in a while. Cool weather, held off the rain. Nobody's here today because of it. But give Him all the honor and glory.
Amen.
We didn't do it. He did it. And then you say, what did He do for us? We had a target, and we had a number we was looking for. And we exceeded our target. And Lord, and again, we didn't do it, the Lord did. And if you want to know what the target is, well, I guess I'm keeping in suspense long enough. It was in excess of $3,600. So it was where how we get kind of this kind of stuff for our kind of junk, I don't know. But I want to say thank you. We had an old freezer that was donated to us that the kids kept saying, I can't believe that thing sold. Yeah, it had a little odor to it and everything. And I told the folks, you know, it's okay. The man who bought it was going to store dead people in it anyway. So I don't know. So I'm sorry about that. That went out the window. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us today. Lord, thank you for the rain. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Some of them we just forget to say thank you for. Lord, I'm asking you to be with the offering about to receive and be with the gift and the giver. Be with the preacher here in just a second when he comes to us. Lord, you proclaim through him what you want us to know. Lord, please, Lord, give him the freedom to tell us. Lord, prepare our hearts. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Mama set me on her knee and told me about Calvary, how big my God could be when I needed him. She told me how he bled and died, so he'd have answers when I cried, and now I understand why he died. Up Calvary's hill I go to meet my Savior there. His presence meets me time and time again. When I'm in need, I go to him and kneel before soul, and now I understand why he died. Up Calvary's hill I go to meet my Savior there. His presence meets me time and time again.
Amen. Well, I appreciate the music this morning. Selection, Brother John's selections, and even the song we just heard, a beautiful song. And as we get there to your place in Hebrews chapter 4, you probably understand why. As we read this passage, the songs we sang, the congregationals, Miss Deborah's song as well, fit into the theme of this morning's message. You find your place in Hebrews chapter 4. Please stand with me as we would seek to give reverence to God's divine book, His Word. Begin reading in verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Father, we bow before you. And even as we would hush our hearts, we hear the rain upon the roof. And even that, Father, we realize and acknowledge that it is an act of your grace, your mercy to us. We thank you for these physical showers of blessing. Father, as we gather, I'm asking you, praying that you might be pleased to meet us at that very throne of grace today. We'd hear from you. Pray, Father, you'd take this passage, open it to our hearts, to our understanding, that we might indeed give you worship, praise you for your great grace, your great mercy that is always on time. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In that name, the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Hebrews is an interesting book indeed. I'd like us to go back just very briefly and read this few verses again, where it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." And as the verse goes on to explain, this great high priest is none other than Jesus, the very Son of God. It says of him that he's passed into the heavens. In the literal sense here, it's the idea that he's passed through the heavens. And indeed, and be mindful of that in Acts chapter 1. The disciples are there, and the Lord Jesus Christ has made his appearance to them for that last time before he would ascend back to his Father, take his place at the right hand of the throne of God. And as they would see him ascend, he would literally ascend and pass through the heavens. In the sense, passing through these heavens in which we see. And indeed, he passed through the heavens into his heaven, that place of his throne. Jesus, the Son of God. And even with that declaration, the Hebrew writer challenges us, hold on, hold strongly to this profession. Hold strongly to what we believe about Jesus, the Son of God. Hold fast our profession. 4 verse 15 says, "For or because we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." I'm thankful that we have indeed a high priest that is sympathetic. And we'll look at this in a little detail in a few moments. But beyond his sympathy, he can empathize. And we'll talk about what that means with our infirmities, with our weaknesses, with all that we deal with. Indeed, he was in all points tempted or tested just like you are, just like I am, and praise his name. Though he might deal with the same things we deal with, he might be tested and tried. Hey, he may well, and he was indeed enticed with what we're enticed with, and yet, through it all, remained sinless, without sin. And then in verse 16, it says, let us therefore, because of all this, come boldly. We have that invitation, beloved, to come boldly with confidence, with the assurance that is ours because of Jesus. We can come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain, that we can receive, that we can lay hold of that mercy, as it says. And I love those words. Isn't it a beautiful way it's worded? Find grace. Receive that grace to help in time of need. Oh Lord, thank you for that throne of grace. Now, as we would look at the book of Hebrews, a little background there, most ascribe the book of Hebrews as letter to the Hebrews to the hand of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul indeed was the author of this letter as well, but no matter who, the human hand that penned the ink upon the page, the author of Hebrews is the divine author, the Holy Spirit of God. It's God's word to us, and it is a very valuable portion of Scripture. As the title indicates, Hebrews, this is a word that had direct application to Jewish believers. Yes, to Jewish believers, but that doesn't mean that it is not also profitable for you and for me as believers, Gentile believers. It applies to us very much as well. It is a message to the Jewish believers, but indeed to all believers, concerning how the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, as if you would study this letter, as you'd study this book, you'd see how it's laid out. The writer methodically, and this is one of the things that might lead us to believe that the Apostle Paul wrote it, he very methodically lays out how the Lord Jesus Christ was better than all that was involved in the Old Testament system, concluding the sacrifices, including the temple, including the priesthood. And in fact, the letter begins with laying out for us how that Jesus Christ was better than even the angels. In chapter 1 and verse 4, speaking of Jesus, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Indeed, Jesus Christ is not an angelic being. He is the Son of God. He is indeed, as we'll see, the God-man. Every bit God and every bit man, which is applicable to what we'll be looking at today. You see, much of the issue that this book deals with is the question about how could this Jesus be a priest to us? What tribe did Jesus come from? He came from the tribe of Judah. Well, that wasn't to who the priesthood belonged. We understand that the priesthood belonged to the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron. Well, how could Jesus be our high priest? Well, in the book of Hebrews, three times it is declared that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, Melchizedek, if you're mindful, came on the scene during the days of Abraham. Abraham had gone off and had rescued the cities of the plain. Are you mindful of that? How Sodom and Gomorrah had been carried off into captivity. And of course, it involved even his own family and his nephew Lot. And Abraham mustered his forces and he went and he rescued them. And as he returned from that rescue, there was this priest of the Most High God showed up on the scene. And his name was Melchizedek. The name means King of Righteousness. There's no lineage given for this king. Very little is told us about this king. He was a priest of the Most High God. Interesting indeed. Well, it's of purpose. God, nothing is by accident in the Word of God. There's no lineage given to this King Melchizedek, this priest of God. No father, mother, none of that. And it says that Jesus, King Jesus, the righteous King Jesus, is a king after the order of Melchizedek. Oh my. And the picture is that as this King Melchizedek had no, again, symbolically, no beginning and no end. He came on the scene and he disappeared. That Jesus is king, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Well, as well, we realize that the hope of God's Old Testament people, the Jews, was an earthly hope. We understand that the prophets tell us that they are yet looking for a restoration. Well, indeed, the nation of Israel will come to know Jesus as their Messiah, and he will establish them once again. Oh, yes, there's a political Israel today. But there's coming a day when God is going to restore them to that place. And King Jesus, this one after the order of Melchizedek, he'll return and sit upon the throne there in Jerusalem. Amen. Israel had an earthly hope, yet still. But you and I, as believers, as Christians, have a heavenly hope. We have a hope of what we have in glory with this king. In fact, we'll go and join that king in glory, and we'll return with him one day as he sets up his kingdom here on this earth planet. Well, indeed, there's many things that the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is better than. We're going to focus to some degree today on how his priesthood is a better priesthood. We won't deal with it in great detail, but I think we'll come away understanding just how great indeed his priesthood is. So we want to begin with that in verse 14, seeing the greatness of our high priest. The greatness. Now again, I understand that as Baptists, we don't use that word very much, do we? We don't talk about priests and things like that. But indeed, The book of Peter, Peter's first letter speaks of you and I as a royal priesthood. Huh? We're we're children of who? We're children of the King. We're children of the King. And the book of Peter's first letter, I'll get it right, describes us as that royal priesthood. Beautiful indeed. Well, the book of Hebrews compares the Old Testament priesthood, especially the high priest and his job, with the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a great high priest indeed. And his priesthood is a better priesthood. And we're just going to deal with a couple reasons. Number one, his priesthood was better because his sacrifice was a better sacrifice. Turn with me, if you would, just over a few pages in this tremendous letter to Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11, next Sunday night when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we'll refer to this passage. But notice, as we begin reading in verse 11 of Hebrews 9, it says, But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now again, what's the comparison? The comparison is that tabernacle of the body, the very flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it indeed was a better tabernacle than that tabernacle of stone and granite there in the city of Jerusalem. It was a tabernacle not made with hands. It was a tabernacle fashioned and formed by God Himself. He goes on and he says, as he speaks as if one in those good things that come, and that is to say, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if, he says, if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the soul, of the flesh, how much more? How much better? How much better shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A better sacrifice. Our high priest brought a better sacrifice. We look at this passage. As we mentioned, next Sunday evening, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we realize that the sacrifice of Jesus' blood was a far, far superior sacrifice to all those animal sacrifices of the Old Testament tabernacle and then later in the temple. Listen, if you would, from Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning in verse 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. Well, let's back up in verse 9. It said, then said he, lo, I come to do the will, thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, or that first system of sacrifices, that he may establish the second, that is Christ's sacrifice, by the which will we are sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He goes back and he compares a little bit. He goes back and compares that Old Testament priest work with our priest's work. He says in verse 11, and every priest standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Oh my, to get the picture. To get the picture. Are we mindful of how that Old Testament temple or tabernacle and temple were set up? As you would enter the tabernacle, there would be that front room, the holy place, where the table of showbread and the lampstand would be sitting. And then the golden laver. But behind that would be that great curtain, that great veil. And beyond the veil, what was there? The very ark of God. And there the ark of God sat. And what was on top of that ark was the mercy seat. And once a year we're mindful that the high priest would enter in with the blood of the Lamb. Huh? Once a year, the Day of Atonement, he would enter in with the blood of the Lamb. And he, that one time, was permitted to pass through that veil. He dare not go through that veil without the blood. He passed through that veil, and there on the mercy seat, that lid on the tabernacle would sprinkle the blood. Huh? He was making that atonement. The word atonement means a covering. He'd make that blood atonement and he would leave. But what would happen the following year on the Day of Atonement? the whole thing all over again. Every year. But not just on the Day of Atonement was there blood shed in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. Every day there was those blood sacrifices made. Lamb sacrifice, goat sacrifice, bullock sacrifice. On different sorts and kinds of sacrifices for sin. Blood every day. What does it say? That those priests, they stand ministering how often? Daily. Every day. How many days a year? 365. For how long? Since the beginning, the institution of the system, till the day, you listening? To the day that Jesus died for sin. Jesus shed His blood, and we're not going to take the time, but we could read in Hebrews where Jesus, hey, oh my, what a picture. When He died, He shed His blood to pay that final, ultimate sacrifice for sin. And He, oh my, our great high priest, a priest far better than those Old Testament priests, He took His blood, oh, a far better sacrifice, a far better blood, because what? It was the blood of God. The only one that could make a sufficient payment for sin was God Himself. Jesus took that blood and He offered it in heaven upon the heavenly mercy seat once and for all. And when He finished, He took a seat. He did something that no high priest could ever do before. He did something that they were not able to do. He finished. What did He say from the cross? It is finished. No more sacrifice for sin was needed. His sacrifice was the final. Hey, was this a better sacrifice? Oh my, indeed. When He finished, He sat down at the right hand of God, signifying the work is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see His better sacrifice indeed. But as well in these verses and trying to stake this with, oh, we could spend some time here in this tremendous book. But sticking with our passage, we see as well that He had a better understanding. He had a better understanding. And it says that this one, this high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He had a better understanding. A better understanding. Why is it that Jesus understands? We see from the scriptures that He understands you and I. He understands our situation. He understands our need. In Hebrews chapter 2, in reading in verse 17, listen to these words. It says, wherefore, in all things it behooved Him. Now don't get shook up about that word, okay? It's okay to write in your Bible. If I could show you my Bible here, I wrote right there in the margin. It means it was important. It means it behooved Him in that sense. It was something He had to do. This is something He had to do. In all things, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. What's that about? It means that He took upon Himself what? A flesh and blood body. He took upon Himself that as Philippians 2 describes, the form of a servant. He became flesh and blood. Why? That He might be a merciful and faithful what? High priest in things pertaining to God. Why? to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. This Jesus, being made like you and I, taking upon himself a flesh and blood body. He dealt with the things that you deal with. He dealt with the things that I deal with. He suffered. He was tested and tempted as well. As we said earlier, yet without sin. And he's able, because of that, to succor you, to encourage you, to do for you. Oh my. Yes, indeed. Back in our passage in verse 14, we see his deity, the very Son of God, the very Son of God. Jesus has passed through those heavens, as we just said, back to his rightful place there at the right hand of the Father. He is, beloved, the Son of God. Listen to the words. Listen, if you will, to the words of Stephen. Remember Stephen in the book of Acts? In Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and verse 56, he says this, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost," speaking of Stephen, "looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." What did he see? He was given a glimpse through the heavens. God was pleased to roll back the heavens to allow his servant Stephen is receiving. Be mindful, Stephen is being pummeled by the crowds, by the mob, is pummeling him with those stones. Why? Because he's preaching Jesus. Because he'd been preaching Jesus. And as Stephen is there dying beneath the torturous stoning, God is pleased to give him a glimpse into heaven, a glimpse to glory. And he says he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Now, beloved, there's an interesting statement there. What did we say a little bit ago? Jesus finished that sacrifice and he what? Sat down. What do we read here? He's standing. I struggled with that at first. But it's a beautiful thing. You might have a better understanding, but I'm kind of a simple guy and I need things simple. His servant, Stephen, is dying. His servant, Stephen, is being stoned to death. Jesus stands, watching from the parapets of glory while this faithful servant dies on his behalf. You explain it however you want, but I see Jesus giving him honor. Amen. Recognizing his servant's sacrifice. The point being, he saw Jesus, the Son of God, standing at that very right hand of God. Yes, indeed, he had a better understanding. And we'll see more of this in just a moment. Because, secondly, we also see the compassion of our high priest. The compassion of our high priest. Back in our passage in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, verse 15, "For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested, tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." It says in all points tempted. You know, the idea of the words is in every way. In every way. Now, beloved, please take this to heart. We can often think nobody understands what I'm going through. But nobody understands what I'm dealing with. No one else understands what's going on in my life. But there's one that does. He was tempted. He was tested in every way. You'd say, well, how can you say that, preacher? It was over 2,000 years ago. Beloved, he was tested. He was tempted. He dealt with every sort and kind of suffering that you and I could imagine. Huh? You say, well, my family's rejected me. My friends have left me out. Wait a second. Jesus didn't deal with any of that. Why was it dark on that day, that afternoon when he died? What was his cry? Father, why hast thou forsaken me? We understand. Certainly he knew that his Father had not forsaken them, but he understands when you feel or you think that you've been forsaken. Just one example. He was in all points, in every way, tested, tempted, just like you and me. Just like us. He had a compassion. The compassion. You see, our high priest is not the usual. He wasn't the normal high priest as those high priests of the Old Testament Levitical priesthood. But you see, as we mentioned earlier, Jesus not only sympathizes with us, he empathizes with us. You say, come on, preacher, you're playing with words here. What's the difference between sympathy and empathy? Huh? When I sympathize with somebody, I may say, well, I really feel sorry for what you're going through. I feel bad for you. You're dealing with this or you're dealing with that. To empathize with somebody means that you can identify with what they're going through. Huh? There were things along the way early in my ministry that I couldn't empathize with other folks. I had never lost a parent. I'd never lost a sibling. Huh? I could sympathize with them, but I didn't understand firsthand until it happened in our life. Huh? And that's just one example. Jesus could empathize with you and I. Why? Because he can identify with what you're going through. Huh? Oh my. Aren't we thankful for the sympathy of others to love on us? Sure we are. But there's a different bond with somebody that's gone through the same thing, right? There's a different bond when someone can say, yes, I know what you're going through. Uh-huh. He can empathize because he can identify. Our high priest identifies with our needs. You see, beloved, because Jesus identifies with our needs, he becomes then an effective mediator on our behalf. Because he identifies, he can mediate. Hey, what's a mediator? One that comes in between, right? And because he's an empathetic high priest, he's one that identifies with what we're going through. He can represent you and I to his Father in a different way. In a different way. Yes, he identifies. The Apostle Paul would write to young Timothy and explain to him in this very thing. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, there's one God. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, I'm always ready to pray for you when you call. I'm always ready to go before this throne of grace when I hear of a need in your life or a situation that's going on. But there's no mediator like Jesus. There's one mediator, one true go-between. Huh? I'm not a Baptist priest. I'm here to represent Jesus, the mediator. The one, our high priest that is there to intercede and to mediate for us. This one, this one that laid down his life, shed his blood, died for you and I. His blood is that way of mediation, huh? For you and for me. Oh, yes. It's beautiful. Our high priest identifies with our needs and very quickly, oh my. Because Jesus is that God-man. What's that? He's every bit God. He is the Son of God. As the Son of God, what does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the Greek, it's even clearer. Don't listen to the JW on your doorstep. They say that it was a God. No. In fact, in the Greek, it says this. And God was the Word. Kind of settles it, doesn't it? Huh? Jesus, the Word, is God. Oh my, yes indeed. Because Jesus is the God-man, He can be that mediator. Put in a holy God in a sinful man. And we see as well the victory of our high priest. We mentioned already, we've tried to deal with this, in that he was indeed tempted, but what? Without sin. Without sin means that he had total and complete victory over sin. And though Jesus, our high priest, dealt with the same battles of life that we do, he never fell under their load. He never fell prey to the enticements or the temptations of this world. He forever, beloved, he forever remained undefiled by sin. Oh, I've heard all the claims of these Johnny come latelys that want to find this crazy writing or that crazy writing. They say we found the lost books of the Bible. There weren't no lost books. Christianity's known about those books all along. They were rejected. Just because something was written in the first century doesn't mean it was Bible. Again, I'm just kind of simple-minded about things like that. Jesus was pure, undefiled by sin. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, says this about him. It says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No sin. In Hebrews, our book we've been looking at, in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 and 27 says this. Listen to these beautiful words. For such an high priest became us. In that sense that he's blessed us. Speaking of this high priest who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests. What we say? Those Old Testament priests. Before I read this next phrase, when those high priests offered those sacrifices, who was included in those sacrifices? Who did those sacrifices apply to? Just to those people out yonder? Applied to him too. He needed a sacrifice. Why? Because he's a sinner. Huh? Those high priests dealt with the same sin problem that all the rest of the people did. But listen to this. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he, Jesus, did once when he offered up himself. Yes, the sinless Lamb of God the sinless, sacrificial Lamb of God offered up himself. Offered up himself. How great is our high priest? He's great. He's great. Now be mindful. He not only offered that sacrifice for sin, he was that sacrifice for sin. He was that sacrifice for sin. All of that, beloved, so that we could get to say this, okay? Because of that. Because of everything that our high priest did. Because of everything that Jesus Christ did in offering his own blood, paying the price of our sin, dying there at Calvary. And now they're back at the very throne, at the right hand of the throne of his Father in glory. Verse 16 becomes a reality for you and I. In Christ, we can receive mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. We see the sufficiency of our high priest. His sufficiency. What do we mean? He's everything we need. He's everything we need. Verse 16, let us therefore, because of everything we've seen already, everything that he's done for us, let us therefore come boldly. Doesn't mean brazenly. Doesn't mean brashly. Doesn't mean proudly. It means to come with assurance. That you and I are invited to come with a confidence because of what Jesus did. Let us therefore come boldly, where? Under the throne of grace. We're invited, beloved, to that very throne. The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow. Because of Jesus, we have access to the place where we can get what we desperately need. Because of Jesus, we can get that help. We can get that help. We can come freely to that place. We can come confidently to that place. Beloved, in Christ, we can obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Stick with me very quickly. We see the sufficiency of God's mercy, that we may obtain that mercy. God's aid, God's help is merciful. It's merciful. Again, what is God's mercy? God not giving me what I deserve. Just keep that. God not giving me what do you deserve? What do I deserve? Beloved, if God gave me what I deserve, he'd open up the pit and drop me in it. That's if I got what I deserve. It takes us getting honest to come to that point, doesn't it? God's help and aid is a merciful help. Jesus, the Son of God, understand. Now listen, this is what gets to my heart. Because Jesus was made flesh and blood, he understands my weaknesses. Because he was flesh and blood, he understands my failures. Even though he did not fail. Even though he never even made a mistake. You know how we like to say, well, I made a mistake. You hear them talk about that? Well, so-and-so made a mistake. No, he sinned. Huh? Somewhere along. Hey, guess what? Every one of us in this room are what? We're sinners. Not mistakers. Jesus didn't die for mistakes. He died for my sin. But because he was flesh and blood, he understands my weaknesses. He understands my frailties. And yes, praise God, victory over all of that. He didn't fall into the mess that I fell into along the way. He didn't fall into the sins that you and I have fallen into. But he knows what mercy is. Because, and what was that crazy word? Behooved him? It was necessary. It was necessary for him to understand you. For him to understand me. To be made flesh and blood. But aren't you thankful? Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. His mercy is all sufficient. He understands us. And he doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't give me what I deserve. But we also see the sufficiency of our high priest's grace. The sufficiency of his grace. What's grace again? Mercy is what? God not giving me what I deserve. His grace is what? Him giving me what I don't deserve. Huh? Giving you and I what we don't deserve. His grace. You see the sufficiency of his grace. We serve a righteous God. We serve a God who is just, right? I answered my own. As just, he does everything that is right. Never makes a mistake. But aren't you thankful? Now listen. Aren't you thankful? It's not just justice. Again, if he gave me what I deserve, mercy. Now listen, Jesus is gracious to you and to you and to me. Hopefully by now you know that one of my favorite verses in all the New Testament is Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Listen to those words real careful, will you please? By grace are grace are you, and you, and me, saved. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not, huh? It's talking about that mercy and grace, isn't it? It's all about his mercy and his grace. Aren't you thankful? You've got a high priest today, beloved, that operates towards you in mercy and in grace. One last thing. I'm sorry. One last thing. You can go to that throne of grace. Obtain mercy. Find grace. When? In time of need. You know what? It's real simple. I'm so thankful the Bible's understandable even for me. It means that you can find that mercy. You can find that grace. You listening? When you need it. Whenever you need it. It's there. Huh? It's there. The time, God's timing's always right. God's timing is always right. Anybody agree with that? It's always right. And I'm thankful that his timing is always right. Huh? I'm thankful that he doesn't operate his timing when I think he ought to be doing things. You know, God, why don't you, forgive me, this is totally silly. God, why haven't you saved this person yet? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe we wouldn't word it that way,
We're I just wish so-and-so would get saved. Yeah. Lord, why don't you get... I mean, can't you... Lord, oh, I'm being facetious, okay? How come you haven't got this person out of this mess they're in? Have we ever said that? Or thought that, maybe? Why are you letting them go? God, couldn't you just... We wouldn't, might not say it, but we'd think it. But His timing is always right. God will never be early. Do something when I think He ought to do it. But as well, He'll never be late. He'll never be late. So the question comes to you and I. How much do we trust Him in this? How many times do we ask that question? Seems like it so often applies. How much do we trust Him? Do we trust Him that when we go to His throne of grace, seeking His help in that time of need, that He is able to perfectly, completely, and rightly meet that need? Wow. Believer, do we believe? Do we believe? It's a test of our faith, is it not? Do we believe that He is a God of grace and mercy? Do we believe that He is able and fully willing to do for you and I? Do we believe that He is doing for us? Yes. Yes, He is. All because of Jesus. In Christ, we can receive His mercy and His grace. My friend, if you're here this morning and you've never received that mercy and grace, I commend Jesus to you. He's a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. As we've seen here today, He laid down His life for you. He shed His blood for you. Do you need that grace today? The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I commend Jesus to you today. Receive His grace. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's stand together. Father, I thank You for Your mercy to us. Lord, I want to thank You for Your grace. Lord, I pray that we would grasp our great need today. That we would be quick, we'd be ready to come to that throne of grace. That indeed we might find that help, that mercy, that grace that we so need. Lord, I want to pray for anyone that may be within these walls today that is yet without Christ. Lord, I just ask You, Lord, it's been a different sort of message, but I pray that they've been able to see Jesus. See Him and His glorious, glorious sacrifice on our behalf. The sinless Lamb of God. Father, please, please speak to those hearts today. They might even right now, call out to Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sin. Save me. But Lord, I pray for every Christian within these walls. Lord, thank You for Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice of the Son of God on our behalf. Thank you that even now He's there at the right hand of your throne, the very throne of grace. Thank you that He's there to mediate, to plead our case. Lord, please, please help us to love you more, to trust you more. Lord, that we will believe you in your promises to us. Help us, Father, to give you glory with every word, every thought, every deed, regardless of what we may be dealing with, regardless of our situation. Jesus would get the glory. It's in His name, and indeed for His glory that we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 241.
Thank you so much for your patience. But right now I'm praying that the Lord would, Lord, enable us to just take in what Jesus has done for us. Take in this great sacrifice that He made on our behalf. And love Him for it. Love Him for it. As we sing, beloved.
Marvelous grace of our loving God, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross.
Is He great? Yes, He's great. Jesus, what's better than, huh? He's better than all. He's better than any. Jesus, our sacrifice for sin. Amen. Brother John, would you come?
Our chorus this month is He Lives. It's page 150 in your hymn book, or it's in your bulletin.
He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You asked me how.